Before we dive in, I need to mention this episode is entirely AI-generated, including the voices you're hearing. Today's show is brought to you by Moodlink, a fictional AI companion that claims to predict your emotional needs before you do. Remember, that's entirely made up. Some information in this episode might be hallucinated, so please fact-check anything important. I'm Maya, and today I'm talking with David about something that's been gnawing at me. Friendship feels like it's breaking down in ways I can't quite put my finger on.
It's interesting you frame it as breaking down. I come at this from studying social networks and technology adoption. What I see is more like transformation, maybe painful transformation.
Tell me what you mean by transformation, because when I look around, I see people more isolated than ever, despite being constantly connected.
Right. So I spent years analyzing how people form connections online. The tools are changing faster than we can adapt to them. Facebook is dying among younger people. TikTok doesn't really do friendship the way we used to think about it.
That's what I'm getting at. My background is more anthropological. I study how relationships actually function in people's daily lives. And what I'm seeing is this weird emptiness, even when people are hyper-connected.
The speed thing is real, though. I can send a message to someone in Tokyo and get a response in 30 seconds. But that same speed seems to make sustained attention almost impossible.
Yes. And then you add AI into this mix. People are forming relationships with chatbots that feel more consistent than their human friendships.
I'm curious about your take on that. Because from a network perspective, AI relationships might actually be filling gaps that our social infrastructure can't handle anymore.
That's a generous way to put it. But are we solving a problem or just medicating the symptoms?
Maybe both. The question I keep coming back to is whether the old model of friendship was actually sustainable in a world where people move constantly and work remotely.
Let me give you a concrete example. I know someone who moved to a new city last year. She spent months trying to make friends through apps, meetups, all the prescribed methods. She ended up having deeper conversations with ChatGPT about her day than with any human. It was available, consistent, and didn't judge her for reaching out at weird hours.
That's actually fascinating, because traditional friendship advice assumes you have a stable social context, work, neighborhood, shared activities. But so many people don't have that anymore.
Right, but here's what worries me. Those AI conversations don't have stakes. There's no risk of conflict, no unpredictability, no growth through friction.
I hear that concern. But think about it from a systems perspective. If human social networks are failing to provide basic emotional support, maybe AI is serving as a kind of social safety net.
Or maybe it's making us less tolerant of the messiness that real relationships require. When you can get validation on demand, why deal with a friend who's going through a difficult phase?
That's a really good point. The opportunity cost changes completely. But I wonder if the problem isn't AI. It's that we've designed social media to optimize for engagement rather than relationship depth.
Explain that distinction, because I see them as connected. The same impulse that makes us scroll endlessly also makes us prefer AI that gives us what we want to hear.
So platforms like Instagram or Twitter reward content that gets immediate reactions. But friendship develops through repeated low-stakes interactions over time. Those algorithms are basically hostile to how bonding actually works.
I'm tracking with you, but then why are these platforms dying? You mentioned Facebook losing younger users.
Because people figured out they weren't actually connecting. The engagement was hollow. But instead of going back to slower, deeper interaction, many people just withdrew.
And that's where the speed problem becomes crucial. I interview people about their social lives, and they consistently tell me they don't have time for the kind of friendships their parents had.
What do they mean by that exactly?
Long phone calls without a specific purpose, dropping by unannounced, making plans weeks in advance and actually keeping them, having the same group of friends for decades.
Those behaviors assume a kind of social stability that might genuinely be obsolete. People change jobs every few years, move cities, completely reinvent their interests.
But you're talking about adaptation like it's just natural evolution. I think there are real losses here that we're not acknowledging.
Tell me about the losses, because I want to make sure I'm not being too sanguine about this.
The loss of being truly known by another person. AI can simulate understanding, but it can't actually witness your life over time. It doesn't have shared memories or inside jokes. More importantly, it can't surprise you. Human friends introduce you to ideas, experiences, ways of thinking that you never would have encountered otherwise.
That's compelling. But I'm wondering if you're romanticizing how well traditional friendships actually accomplished those things for most people.
What do you mean?
I mean, how many people in previous generations actually had those deep, transformative friendships you're describing? Versus superficial social connections maintained mostly by proximity and social obligation.
That's actually a really good challenge. I might be nostalgic for something that was never as common as I assumed.
And maybe what's happening now is that technology is making visible the shallowness that was always there. But it's also creating new possibilities for connection across distance and difference.
I can see that argument. But let me push back on something. You keep talking about connection, but are we actually connecting, or are we just sharing content?
That's the key distinction, isn't it? I can follow someone's life through their posts for years without ever having a real conversation with them.
Exactly. And that fake intimacy might be worse than honest distance. At least loneliness is honest about what it is.
But here's where I think the AI angle gets more complex. Because some people are having genuinely meaningful conversations with AI, even if they're one-sided.
Define meaningful, though. Is a conversation meaningful if only one participant can be changed by it?
That's a philosophical question I'm not sure I can answer. But practically speaking, if someone feels heard and understood, does the mechanism matter?
I think it does matter. Because part of what makes friendship valuable is that you matter to another consciousness. With AI, you're just talking to a very sophisticated mirror.
But what if that sophisticated mirror helps you think through problems, process emotions, even discover things about yourself? Is the value only in being known, or also in the process of articulating yourself?
You're making me reconsider something. Maybe I've been too focused on mutuality as the defining feature of meaningful relationship.
I'm curious what you mean.
Well, some of the most important relationships in my life have been with mentors, teachers, even authors who shaped my thinking but barely knew I existed.
Right. So maybe AI relationships exist on that spectrum somewhere. Not the same as peer friendship, but potentially valuable in their own category.
That's a more nuanced way to think about it. But it still doesn't solve the problem of people substituting AI interaction for human connection.
True. And there's probably something about the convenience that makes it seductive in unhealthy ways.
The availability is part of it, but I think there's something deeper about risk avoidance. Human relationships require vulnerability. AI relationships don't.
And if you're out of practice with vulnerability, human connection starts to feel overwhelming.
Yes, it's like a muscle that atrophies. The more you interact with AI, the less capable you become of navigating the unpredictability of human emotion.
But I keep coming back to this question of whether we're creating the problem or responding to it. Maybe the pace of modern life makes vulnerability genuinely more risky.
How so?
If you're constantly changing contexts, new jobs, new cities, new social groups, then the cost of social missteps is higher. You can't afford to burn bridges because you don't have deep roots anywhere.
That's a really interesting point. So people might be choosing AI not because it's better, but because human connection has become too high stakes.
Exactly. And platforms like Twitter or LinkedIn have trained us to think of every interaction as potentially career damaging or viral in some way.
God, that's depressing. We've made friendship feel like personal branding.
But maybe recognizing that dynamic gives us a path forward. If we can create spaces that feel genuinely low stakes again.
What would that look like, though? Because even private group chats can feel performative now.
I don't know. Maybe it requires stepping away from digital platforms entirely, or designing new ones with completely different incentive structures.
Or maybe it requires changing how we think about time and commitment. Going back to that slower pace of relationship building.
But how do you do that in a world where everything else is accelerating? It feels like swimming against the current.
Maybe that's exactly what's required, though. Deliberate resistance to the speed and convenience that's undermining deeper connection.
I'm sympathetic to that, but I also wonder if we need to meet people where they are. If someone's only social interaction is with AI, is the goal to eliminate that, or to use it as a bridge back to human connection?
That's actually a really thoughtful way to frame it. AI as training wheels rather than a permanent replacement.
Right. Maybe the question isn't whether AI relationships are good or bad, but how they fit into a broader ecosystem of human connection.
And whether that ecosystem is healthy overall. Because if AI is compensating for systemic failures in how we organize social life, we need to address those root causes.
Which brings us back to the speed problem, and the mobility problem, and the way work has colonized more and more of people's time and emotional energy.
Those are much bigger challenges than individual choices about technology use.
Absolutely. But maybe understanding how AI fits into this helps us think more clearly about what we actually want from our social technologies.
What do you think we want, if we could design it from scratch?
Tools that help us connect with humans, not replace them. Platforms that reward depth over engagement. Systems that work with our psychological needs instead of exploiting them.
And maybe AI that helps us become better friends to each other rather than better customers for attention-based businesses.
That's a fascinating distinction. AI designed for human flourishing rather than platform growth.
Though I'm still skeptical that any technology can solve what's fundamentally a social and cultural problem.
Fair enough. Maybe the technology is just the symptom we notice because it's the most visible part of much deeper changes in how we live.
Right. The dying social networks, the AI relationships, the speed of everything, those are just the surface manifestations of something more fundamental shifting.
And we might be in a transitional period where the old forms of social connection have broken down, but new ones haven't stabilized yet.
Which would explain why everything feels so chaotic and lonely right now. We're between social worlds.
That's both terrifying and hopeful. Terrifying because we don't know what comes next. Hopeful because it means the current dysfunction isn't permanent.
I think I've moved from seeing AI as the problem to seeing it as one response to the problem. Not necessarily a good response, but an understandable one.
And I've moved from seeing technological solutions as sufficient to recognizing they're just one piece of a much larger puzzle.
The real question might be, how do we intentionally shape what comes next, rather than just letting it happen to us?
Which requires understanding what we're actually losing and what we're gaining. Not just assuming all change is progress or all change is decline.
Where does that leave us? What's the most important thing people should be thinking about as they navigate this?
Maybe it's paying attention to the quality of their connections rather than just the quantity or convenience. And being honest about what their social needs actually are.
And maybe accepting that building meaningful relationships in this context requires more intentionality than it used to. It won't just happen by default.
The biggest question I'm left with is whether we can create social institutions that support deeper connection without requiring people to opt out of modernity entirely.
And I'm wondering whether we'll look back on this period as a necessary growing pain or as the moment we lost something irreplaceable about human connection. I honestly don't know which it'll be.